You're too damn white, guys.
Welcome back to another Too Damn White Guys. I'm Julian Smith.
I'm Andrew Ritter.
And today we're here talking about the seven social sins from Gandhi. This is Gandhi's list, but it's also kind of based on, I guess, the seven deadly sins, which is probably more well-known here in America. But I was looking at this list, these two lists, a couple of weeks ago and thinking how interesting. There's so much overlap between these two lists. I just thought, and you and I were talking about it, and I thought it was just interesting. So here we are. We're making an episode out of it. We're going to compare these two lists, kind of talk about the similarities and the differences. And I guess I'm interested in this because I think they're both great lists.
Yeah, they're pretty good. I mean, anytime you try to make a list of anything especially about morality, morality changes over time. And, you know, they tend to go out of date. But the seven deadly sins was made 1,500 years ago, still more or less applicable enough to make Hollywood movies about anyway.
Right, so, yeah. Also, it's interesting because the seven deadly sins comes from a list of eight. There was originally eight, but it was pared down to seven around AD 590 or CE 590, whichever one you prefer. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the Aristotle, I think, was one of the earliest people who was kind of like talking about these things, but they came from like positive attributes. So Aristotle was like
had a list of
virtues. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And for every one virtue, Aristotle said that there were two negative virtues that were like on the opposite end of that virtue. Mm. So like, you know, being courageous is a response to fear and risk. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But too much courage can make someone rash and too little makes them a coward.
It's basically like nuance. It's our nuance episode all over again. Aristotle had this idea called the golden mean, and it's just nuance in everything or balance in everything.
Yeah. Interesting. So we've got these two lists. We're going to go through, I guess, one at a time and kind of compare them to each other.
By the way, seven, they probably went with seven because seven is a magic number.
I've heard this. Yeah. This is interesting. I mean, obviously, I don't believe in magic, but...
No. But I mean, it's the number of... bodies in the sky, so astronomers could see five planets plus the moon and the sun, so that's seven.
Yeah.
7 days of the week. It's kind of why there's 7 days of the week, though, actually.
Right.
I can't remember what the other things that make seven unique. Seven's a prime number. That's very interesting. All the other numbers before it, you know, have form other numbers and combine in better ways. Seven is kind of an unusual number. So...
There's seven dwarfs in Snow White.
Which is seven muses and seven, in Greek mythology, I guess there's seven muses, sirens, I think, maybe, or something like that. But anyway.
And in Revelation, there's the seventh seal.
Seven horsemen of the apocalypse.
Yeah, and the seventh seal or something, too. Yeah. There's like when the seventh seal is pulled back, that's when the apocalypse starts, supposedly. Mm. But I like to say I'm not superstitious, I'm just a little bit stitious.
Yeah.
So seven is definitely a weird number.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, this list, both of these lists have seven. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
So,
I think that the second list, Gandhi's list, was based on, I think, the list of seven.
It must be because there's some overlap, but I can't tell which list I prefer because certain line items on each list make more sense to me. So it kind of goes back and forth.
By the way, we're calling it Gandhi's list, but it's not actually
correct. It's not really Gandhi's.
It was made famous because Gandhi published it in 1925, but an American pastor actually came up with the list in around March 1925. Gandhi published it in October and made it famous, so it's often attributed to Gandhi.
And it came from his grandfather, actually. It was Gandhi's grandfather that originally compiled the seven. But I think the seven deadly sins are actually much, much older. It's like it dates back to like Aristotle's time and stuff. So.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's this is an old list, and I think it's probably just because it's a good list, and we've been using it for a long time. So we're gonna go through each one. But first, you should tell me the news because I have no idea what happened this week.
Right.
Andrew tells Julian the news.
Well, the big one is Mueller investigation. The final report from Robert Mueller was handed over to the Justice Department.
Wait, is this is Trump's attorney?
No, Mueller is the investigator who was looking into evidence of collusion with the Russians in the 2016 election.
They invited
32 people or something like that. But news is that probably no more indictments, at least under Robert Mueller's investigation. Doesn't mean there won't be any other connected indictments and stuff like that. So obviously Trump is hailing that as a victory, but it's not clear cut, like exactly what's in it stuff. So people are going to, you know, find out over the coming weeks, hopefully what actually the content are.
This is how under a rock I live. I mixed this up with an entirely different Trump case.
And if you don't read the fine print, you probably should. A woman recently won $10,000 for being the first person to read the fine print in her agreement. And there was a little clause that said, if you read this and you're the first person, you email us and telling us you read this, you win $10,000.
No way.
Yeah. So she
that's the best fine print ever.
Yeah. It's so bad that this British company about a few years ago put a clause that said, by signing this agreement, you're agreeing to hand over your firstborn child in perpetuity to us. Kind of as a joke, but yeah. And everyone signed it, of course.
That didn't really happen.
Yeah.
So wait, somebody really had happens. To sign over their child just because they read some fine print?
Yeah, the fine print said by signing this agreement, you're handing over your firstborn child to us in perpetuity for all eternity, I think. Yeah.
And somebody made this mistake.
Well, everyone made them. Tons of people signed the document.
So what happened to all these kids?
Well, I don't think it's legally upholdable, but
okay.
So it wasn't upheld, but it's kind of they were kind of doing it as a point.
Okay.
To prove that nobody reads these things.
Yeah. Some kind.
Actually, we do that in presentations for technical presentations. Often, we put the word banana in it because aerospace engineering doesn't usually have a lot of bananas. So it's just a reminder to go back and pick something. But sometimes you leave a banana in there by accident. So,
little banana never hurt anybody.
Yeah. And just to check if they're reading.
Yeah. Yeah. Bananas should be eaten in private, though. Mm-hmm, it's a very private fruit. Mm-hmm. It's a very private fruit.
And this hipster recently sued a publication that was talking about how all hipsters look alike. So he sued because they used his photo in the publication, talking about how all hipsters look alike, or so he thought. Turns out it wasn't actually
him. No way. That's hilarious. That is amazing. This actually made the news. Yeah. That is so good. I love that.
So proving the point by... Yeah.
Even despite his resistance, yeah. He was proven wrong. That's amazing. I love those... have you seen that site, Homeless or Hipster?
Oh, yeah, I can totally, it's obvious to me what that's all
so
about right away.
Does this person have a place to go home to or can't tell? Yeah. So was that it? Was that the news?
That's the news.
Okay.
That's everything that happened.
Yeah, that was everything that happened in the whole world. We covered all of it.
Covered everything.
So let's jump into the 7 social sins, and we're going to compare it to the list of 7 deadly sins, which everybody's probably a little more familiar with. But again, I think it's just fascinating the similarities between these lists. So
I think that the 7 social sins was definitely influenced by the deadly sins.
I think
it was an attempt to make a better list.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you've heard of the 10 commandments and how there's a modern version of that list that is much better than the original one, because most of the 10 commandments are about how you shall put no other God before me.
Yeah.
And like weird things, that's just about God's jealousy, not about actually how you should act and behave towards other humans.
Right. Yeah, and also it's funny, like there's so many different iterations of all these moral lists or laws or, you know, ideas, like even like the golden rule. It used to be the golden rule, but now it's the platinum rule. So I think it's just kind of natural that we've taken all these different ideas that are really old that are actually, you know, they're promoting good behavior, but it's like, you know, times change, people change, and what, you know, how we should act changes, I think. But all right, so do you want to take the first one, or do you want me to take the first one?
Yeah. Let's talk about them. Okay, so wealth without work.
Okay, this is the first social sin, wealth without work. I wonder which one this one would correlate with on the 7 deadly sins.
Maybe. Sloth.
Sloth, yeah, you're probably right.
A little bit. I mean, I think a little bit greed possibly could be referring to trust fund kids.
Yeah.
Well, they had a lot of those in India in 1925.
Are trust fund kids greedy, or are they just unaware?
Nobles and stuff, like aristocracy who just benefit from other people's work and just kind of riding the wave of wealth, basically. I mean, this is, you know, one of the big problems that we talk about in this country, the growing gap between rich and poor, and how if you become wealthy, you earn money off investments and you just stay wealthy and it perpetuates down through the generations. So, yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. Is this a sin? It's one of the 7 social sins.
I think you kind of have to define sin. I mean, word sin just means to miss the mark.
Interesting.
So it's in some ways, I feel like the word sin was probably invented as a like a form of social cohesion, like to keep people like working a certain
social
amount
control,
or something.
I
social
think,
control,
really,
maybe
to control people's behavior, right?
I'm not saying that I think it's a good thing.
The seven deadly sins are arguably, I mean, they're kind of by definition the extremes of something. But if you take like greed, for example, greed is a very extreme version of just achievement, right? Like wanting to to push yourself. So to some extent, a little bit of greed is a good thing.
Yeah, I think all of these things are like, all of these sins would just be mutations of good things. It's like too much of a good thing is a bad thing.
You right, know, exactly. Like it's the, you always seek the middle. What, everything in moderation, including moderation. Yeah, exactly. Like sloth, for example, you know, if you're totally
a little bit of sloth
just,
is okay.
A little bit of sloth is a good thing. It teaches you to relax and stuff. Like taking a vacation is really important. Otherwise, you just drive yourself to death, basically, and have a heart attack at 40.
Have you ever seen that gif of the sloth eating carrot sticks off of its belly?
No.
And he's just, like, lounging on its back and just, like, reaching down. And it looks like he's sitting on the couch eating chips, watching something.
Oh, yeah. I love Zootopia, though. I actually haven't even seen the movie, but that clip with the sloths at the DMV.
Oh, that's a great clip.
Go, if you haven't seen that, go watch it. The clips of the sloths at the DMV.
That is easily my favorite movie trailer of all time.
Mm. Oh, is that the trailer?
It's the trailer, yeah. Oh, the teaser trailer.
Interesting.
I saw it in theater and I was like, oh my gosh, I want to see this movie so bad.
Yeah.
I still haven't seen it,
though. I haven't seen the movie, yeah. But
yeah, so wealth without work. And I guess also one of the things Gandhi says is that each of these social sins, you know, we should aspire to have. Well, like the without, we should aspire for a with, you know, so wealth with work would be a good thing, but wealth without work is a bad thing.
Yeah, I think that's probably true.
Yeah. Which brings us to number two on seven social sins, pleasure without conscience. I think this one's kind of like lust.
It's definitely like lust. Is this a problem, though?
Pleasure without conscience.
If you have pleasure at the expense of other people, obviously that's a problem, but I think you should kind of kick back and not think about what you're doing. So sometimes when you have pleasure, so by definition, that's without consciousness, I guess. But is that the same thing?
Well, also people find pleasure in different things. People want to do different, have different interests and things like that. So I guess the only way to go about making sure that you're not hurting someone with your pleasures is to be conscious.
Right.
So it's like, have a good time, but, you know, think about what you're doing and how it's affecting other people, because everything's a give and take. And, you know, what you do has an effect on other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense to me. Knowledge without character. Now, to me, this one seems like it's putting two things that are unrelated together.
I think they make sense together.
I don't really understand, like, knowledge. So if you go on, like, Jeopardy or something and answer a bunch of questions, that seems like knowledge. I don't see how character relates to that.
I think this one's like pride on the seven deadly sins.
Yeah, it's a good point. It is like pride. But again, a little pride's a good thing. And knowledge just, I mean, I think it's kind of irrespective of character, it's good to have knowledge. I don't know.
I think so too.
I think it's independent, these two things.
I think what it's saying is even if you knew everything, but you have no, I mean, to me, character means like it's the result of how you've been tried in your life, like the decisions you've made and how you deal with them and what you've been through and how you've grown as a person. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's what character is. So knowledge lacking character would be somebody who maybe is really smart, but has no self-awareness or something, or no, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of the difference between wisdom and intelligence. But I just think they're independent. I'm not saying character is a bad thing. It's important to have character also, but it's completely independent in my mind of knowledge. I just don't get why you would even slap these things together.
I think that's why I think that it's correlating to pride, because to me, pride is like, you know, usually prideful people have a good reason to be proud, you know, but it takes character to not be proud. Like how many people do you know?
But knowledge does not imply you're a show off. Not necessarily.
I mean, if you have character, you wouldn't be a show off.
Yeah, I guess, but
that's
like
what
if
I
you
think.
Without character doesn't necessarily imply like a complete lack of character. It doesn't mean you are a show off. It's just like, I think these things are kind of independent and you could be a jerk.
It does say without character, knowledge without character. So it kind of takes both. It's kind of like when you meet, like I've met this one time, I won't name the name, but I was working with a buddy of mine at a recording studio in New York with this Grammy award winning mix engineer producer. And he was giving notes on this mix and everything he was saying was right. Because he's a Grammy award winning producer. Like he's definitely like everything he was saying was right. He was definitely the smartest person in the room at what he was doing, but he was not doing it tactfully. He was just like bulldogging everyone, you know, and he was right, but he wasn't doing it very gracefully.
Sometimes tact is bullshit though.
Sometimes.
Like, I mean, it's overrated. I think it's okay to be a bit of a jerk sometimes. Again, I think character is important. It's not useless, but I just kind of don't see why you would slap these two together. It doesn't seem like if you're making a list of the seven most important things in the world, you would put these together. That's not obvious to me.
I like this one.
All right.
I like this one.
Yeah, I kind of am a know-it-all, though. So.
Maybe you have no character.
maybe I'm guilty of this one.
I don't think that's true. Just a joke. So this one, I guess, is linked to pride. And then I guess that brings us to number four, which it's your turn, right? This is my turn. Commerce without morality. So I guess this one's interesting. This one, I think these two are the strangest combination.
No. This is totally.
No,
this
I guess
totally
it makes sense.
This is
I
like
guess it makes
businesses
sense.
Businesses being beholden to their shareholders more than to the greater good makes sense. It's kind of not how our economy works.
It's kind of like don't be a tyrant.
Gandhi did not care so much how our economy works, nor probably did this pastor. So I don't know. I think that this one is a stretch. It's okay, but it also kind of goes along with Gandhi's aversion to technology and to economic growth and stuff like that, which, you know, I think economic growth is the thing that brings people out of poverty. So, of course, that doesn't imply that you have to have a complete lack of morality of commerce. It's just kind of sticking things together. But I think there's a passing judgment here that commerce doesn't have morality. And I think, you know,
you're saying
commerce is what brings people up. It's like the trading goods, exchanging from like a producer of one asset, one type of good who has an excess, they trade it to other people and everyone does better off as a result of it. So I think by almost definition, commerce tends to be good. This is kind of making a judgment that commerce is not good unless you're really careful that you also have morality when you do it.
See, I see the list differently. I don't think he's saying that. I mean, on this list, he's got, let's just read the first words of these. He's got wealth, pleasure, knowledge, commerce, science, religion, politics. None of those things I would say are bad on their own. Mm-hmm. I think what he's saying with this list is that wealth without work creates bad things. Mm-hmm. Pleasure without conscience creates bad things. Mm-hmm. Knowledge without character. So it's not that these things are bad in and of themselves. It's that when you combine these things, you know, when they lack these other traits to like balance them out, they can create bad things.
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is I think sometimes the first thing on the list, commerce, is agnostic of the second thing on the list, morality. I would say that all the things he lists on the left side of the list, wealth, pleasure, knowledge, commerce, science, religion, politics, those are all kind of important human endeavors, right? And then conscience, work, character, morality, humanity, sacrifice, principle, those are all like positive things. Mm-hmm. So you could almost separate this list and say, these are things that the things on the left, wealth, pleasure, knowledge, are important things to humans. Things on the right, work, conscience, character, morality, humanity, are things that are important ways to be.
Yeah,
but they
yeah,
don't necessarily
yeah.
link up one for one. Like I don't, he is explicitly drawing this connection, but I don't know that it's necessarily there. I mean, in some cases, yes, but
yeah,
like you could do a blind experiment where you did wealth without conscience. And it worked perfectly well. I think we're actually, you know, doing the human thing of jumping to conclusions first and then finding rationales for why they make sense afterwards. If you match up any one of these, wealth with humanity or sacrifice, it works.
Yeah, you're right. It does. It does. Right? But each of these things...
Science without morality. I mean, fuck, that's like huge compared with humanity, right? Like,
Yeah. I think you just cracked the code.
It's kind of like faux intellectual.
Well, I will say, I think that the first words in these lists are all human inventions. wealth, pleasure, knowledge. I mean, maybe not knowledge.
Yeah, not
commerce,
pleasure, but,
science, religion, politics. Yeah. Those are all things people have created. And without, you know, I think what the list is saying is if you participate in any of those human inventions without, you know, thinking about it, then it could potentially go the wrong way.
I totally agree. But what I'm saying is you could put everything on the left side, wealth, pleasure, knowledge, commerce, mm-hmm. put it in a bubble and say, these are all important things. And then take everything on the right side. These are things we should have.
Mm-hmm.
These seven things we should have when we pursue these seven things, but not necessarily like a one-to-one mapping.
So the real question would be, what's the common denominator between the words on the right?
Work, conscious, character, those are
morality,
attributes, ways
immunity,
of being.
Sacrifice, right? Principle. Yeah, but, now, but they are all different things.
Yeah, but they're all important different things, different attributes. So they're ways of being, right? Or, you know.
So you could say that we need all of these things together. You need work, conscious, character, morality,
like,
humanity, sacrifice,
example,
and principle.
Wealth should go with work, conscience, character, morality, humanity, sacrifice, and principle all together, right?
Yeah.
And but with the current mapping, it corresponds really well to the seven deadly sins.
Yeah, it
so
does.
It seems like it's just kind of almost a rewording of the seven deadly sins.
I think it is, but I think I like how instead of it's the seven deadly sins is just mm-hmm. one word each: pride, envy, gluttony, lust, anger, greed, sloth. But I like how the seven social sins puts like a human invention without human thought is essentially what the list is. It's basically like doing any of these things without these things is gonna
totally
be problematic.
I get that, but I almost prefer the seven deadly sins because it's interpretable, so it's more widely applicable. Of course, that's like horoscopes; you can interpret them to mean anything. So
that's true.
Yeah. I mean, basically, the social sins are being more specific. Anyway, we should just continue on them and go through them.
But I think number four, commerce without morality, is I think that's greed.
Oh, no question.
Yeah.
Although we already had greed, didn't we?
No,
wealth without work.
That was sloth. Sloth.
Yeah. Okay. I guess so. Yeah. It's also greed. But yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
There's some overlap here.
Sloth and greed are strangely similar.
Science without humanity. I took some history classes in university, and my history teacher was kind of anti-engineers. I was an engineer at the time, or studying engineering.
He was against you from the start.
And he said, during the Holocaust, the Nazis built these gas chambers, and the engineers asked, how big? How big do you want them? That's the only question they asked. So he's kind of saying, like, engineers just, like, followed orders without having a conscience and just, like, figure out the technical challenges without thinking about the humanity or the morality of what they're doing. And I think that's kind of BS, because that's like saying you can't walk and chew gum at the same time, right? Like, I think it was an argument in favor of the humanities and how, like, morality stems from philosophy or from the humanities or something like that. But I don't think that's really true. Sam Harris has a really good book about morality.
Oh,
the
landscape. Yeah.
It talks about the scientific basis for morality.
I love that book.
Because basically, don't do bad things because it harms thinking beings. Like, it's kind of obvious, guys. You don't have to have, like, a lot of in-depth knowledge of philosophy to understand that doing bad things is wrong.
Yeah.
So kind of, this is kind of what I think it's, Gandhi and this pastor kind of saying, well, science, if you just don't think about the impacts of it, has the potential to be destructive, which is true, I guess. Like, you think about the atomic bombs and stuff. Although, of course, there's an argument to be made in favor of dropping the atomic bombs in that case as a result of total impact.
How so?
Oh, well, millions of people would have died if you did not use the atomic bombs, and a couple hundred thousand people died when you did use the atomic bombs.
Wait, I think I'm lost.
The invasion of Japan. So basically, the United States dropping the atomic bombs prevented the invasion of Japan.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Because the United States would have invaded Japan, and millions of American servicemen and far more Japanese citizens would have died had the U.S. had to invade Japan. In fact, they made over a million Purple Hearts in preparation for the invasion of Japan, and they're still giving out the Purple Hearts that they made to invade Japan because in all wars since, the United States hasn't had as many casualties as they were projecting for that invasion.
Hmm.
Yeah,
atomic bombs.
all I'm saying is it's not straightforward. I'm not saying dropping the atomic bombs was necessarily a good thing, but it kind of depends on how you look at it, right? And there's different, it depends on what kind of philosophy you take. Like, are you a utilitarian? So the the bottom line, the ends basically do justify the means, which I think kind of is true, but of course the means should be considered somewhat. I mean, it's not straightforward, but it is true that science can be destructive. But science without humanity, that's what the sin is supposedly.
Yeah.
But like, how does humanity apply to theoretical physics or like quantum mechanics?
Yeah, I would say it's probably closer to, I would actually say in this instance, it should be technology instead of science, because I don't see how science can be really disruptive. But I could see how science could just mean technology or something.
Yeah, it could be applied in destructive ways. I think that's true. This is a list from 1925. So science back then, probably they thought like
it probably meant technology.
Killer robots or something. It probably is equivalent to technology. I think that's true. I mean, you obviously have to consider the impacts of the technologies you build. Like, should we have drones in the military that go and, drop bombs on people and stuff like that without a human in the loop?
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like...
Or drones that drop Amazon packages on people.
Well, that seems a little less destructive unless they have anthrax in them. But basically, it's kind of like outsourcing our morality if we get our robots to do our killing for us.
Right, yeah.
So it's an interesting question. And so I guess to that extent, I agree with it. But I think that science, I mean, almost by definition, really basic science should not... It should be agnostic to morality. Like, we want to learn things, how things work, how things actually are. And, you know, what does morality have to do with biology? Like,
yeah, I mean, that's what I think.
Medicine,
yeah.
Maybe, like what, how maybe, you apply yeah. it to humans or something like that. But if you're studying the mating habits of wasps,
yeah,
what the heck does morality have to do with that?
That's the beef I have with this one, is that science, it, to me, means like, it's just how you go about understanding your surroundings.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas technology is kind of manipulating your surroundings into a piece of a tool or something.
Yeah,
you know?
I think that's true. But so this is linked, science is linked to humanity, but I think it would almost be better linked to morality. What is the difference between morality and humanity anyway?
Yeah, they're
because,
probably the same.
I mean,
and
morality is basically how we govern our behavior to better humans or to not harm other humans, and actually probably should be broader than that, include other animals as well, and nature and things like that, and the earth and whatever we want to include within that umbrella, but which is why actually humanity might not be a broad enough definition here. But
I think you could replace all of these withouts in this list with the word thinking.
Pretty much, yeah.
Wealth without thinking.
Wealth,
pleasure without thinking.
Yeah, thinking
knowledge
about
without thinking. Knowledge without thinking is actually strangely good.
Interesting.
Commerce without thinking. Science without... It's all just like, think about it. It's just...
Well,
think about what you're
without
doing.
Without thinking is trivia. Which,
yeah, that's true.
Which is by definition good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like trivia.
Yeah.
Anyway, religion without sacrifice. This one kind of gets me too.
Yeah, this one's interesting. It kind of rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah, what does that mean?
To me, so I think this is a really old list, and religion was, religion's having a hard time right now because a lot of people are kind of abandoning their religions and people are becoming irreligious. But I think back in this time when this list was compiled, pretty much everybody was religious. Most people were religious. So yeah. I think religion here could be substituted with like philosophy or, you know, a way of life or something. It's like a belief system.
Mm.
I think it's just like the way you interact with people, mainly the way you treat other people. If you're not sacrificing something, or I don't know. It's also, this one kind of seems like the New Testament scripture, faith without works is dead. You ever heard that one?
It's exact. I mean, this is a very Christian idea too, even though Gandhi wasn't Christian, although the list was conceived by a Christian, the pastor. I mean, sacrifice, like, is sacrifice ever actually noble, or is it only noble for its impact? Because it makes you think about the consequences of things. Like, if you have to give something up, then it makes you think that, hey, maybe other people don't have those things.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you're fasting, which is the opposite of feasting, interesting.
Oh, yeah, interesting.
If you're fasting, you're kind of reminding yourself that, hey, not everyone has food. And so you're kind of putting yourself in their position. So it's really just kind of experiencing other people's experiences and thinking about the consequences of things rather than, you know, I guess the sacrifice is a means to an end.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's any nobility in sacrifice for its own sake, but maybe sacrifice helps you come to understand things better.
I would replace the word sacrifice in this list with philanthropy or something like that.
Yeah, I guess that's... Kind, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or just, you know, forethought or just important gesture, like a moral. I mean, actually, morality is another one.
And I know plenty of non-philanthropic religious people. Yeah. So.
Yeah, so I don't know about sacrifice exactly, but yeah, the consequences of empathy, maybe.
Maybe this one would be better worded as philosophy without philanthropy.
Or how about religion without open-mindedness?
Religion without open-mindedness, yeah. Well,
because you have to be open to other people's beliefs and other people's religions too, right? Like, you know, you can. It's fine to think what you want to think, but you have to understand that people think differently and whatever you consider sacred might not apply to everyone.
Yeah, I think the word philosophy is a little more broad, though, because there's a lot of irreligious people that this one wouldn't apply to. It's like, if you're unreligious, then this one doesn't apply to you at all. But I think everybody has a philosophy or a way they like to live or something. So I think I like the word philosophy better.
So science without humanity and religion without sacrifice, are these related to any of the seven deadly sins?
Oh, yeah. Science without humanity. That one would be...
I don't even see how that's related.
I think that one would be... Yeah, what would science without humanity be on the seven deadly sins?
I don't think...
Maybe envy?
No.
Not envy.
Yeah.
Hmm. Maybe... Yeah. Well, let's see what's left on here that we haven't covered. We haven't covered anger, gluttony, or envy. So those are the three remaining ones on seven deadly sins. I don't think those last three correlate.
I think Gandhi was fine with gluttony. He was a skinny dude, but
he was totally against technology, but he loved eating everything.
He just had a really fast metabolism.
Don't let Gandhi in your house. That's ridiculous. Okay, so the last one here is politics without principle. I think this one's pretty clear.
Yeah, it goes without
Which
saying.
One would this one be? This
well,
one
would... I kind of thought this was greed also. I think they're kind of all greed.
Yeah, the last three are greed.
Yeah, none of these are lust either. I think Gandhi was also fine with lust.
Yeah. Well, I think pleasure without conscience is lust.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, that's probably true. Yeah.
Even though lust has probably a more like sexual connotation now than it used to.
You don't think so? I think it was always sexual.
Yeah, but it wasn't it like more than just sexual? Like you could lust for like all kinds of things back in the day, couldn't
Figuratively,
you?
Figuratively, yes. It's unclear to me whether that was a meaning back then. I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. Okay. Like lusting for your neighbor's oxen. And not in that way.
How does bestiality always come up?
Not in that way.
This is like the third time we've talked about bestiality on this podcast.
No, what is it? Coveting. That's the word they use. But they use that for your neighbor's wife and your neighbor's oxen.
Yeah, but never your neighbor's husband. Nobody covets the neighbor's husband.
Well,
what does that say about men?
What it says is the Bible was addressing only the males.
Yeah, I mean, that's patriarchy.
Right, totally. I don't think the women were taught to read and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so it was just like
unfortunate.
It was the rules for the males to follow because the women were just property.
Yeah, that's pretty messed up.
So politics without principle. I mean, that's, but I mean, again, you could replace the word principle with morality, character, humanity, conscience.
Work.
It kind of works. Well, work is, I don't think you'd replace it with.
Yeah, work probably not work.
You could be a hardworking asshole. Basically.
That's true. He's an asshole, but he really gets the job done. I guess that's what they'd say about Steve Jobs.
Yeah. See, that's the thing about, Steve Jobs is a great example of, what is this? Pleasure with it? Oh, knowledge with that character, maybe, or something?
Maybe. Like,
I guess he had character, but it was the wrong character.
I don't know. It's strange reading his, have you read his biography?
No.
It's pretty, Walter Isaacson wrote it.
Yeah.
He wrote, pretty sure, Albert Einstein's biography and a bunch of other people that are really cool. But anyways, it's a great book, but he goes and interviews a bunch of people that worked with Steve Jobs directly and things. And the things that people had to say about him were really interesting. Cause you know, it was obviously a huge honor to have worked with him, but they were also like, he was kind of a dick.
Yeah, you know? Totally. But, it's unfair, but we had this class yesterday about, unconscious bias and men can be dicks and get away with it and be respected and stuff. And you're just like, okay, well, they get the job done, so we'll accept it. But yeah, women have struggled because it's hard to be both powerful and likable.
Women can't be dicks? Is that what you're trying to say? That should be a bumper sticker.
Well, it's hard, because they did this study where this lawyer was applying to different law firms. And this Harvard professor took her resume, and her name was Heidi. and replaced her name with Howard. And distributed to people. Yeah, yeah. Intentionally distributed to different people. And they sent half the students or evaluators Heidi's resume and half the students Howard's resume. It was the same resume in every way whatsoever, except for the name. And so the people thought it was a man versus a woman. And everyone liked Howard. They thought he was a hard-driving, successful lawyer.
Weird.
And a little bit, like, maybe kind of a bit aggressive, but in a good way. And it's totally fine. But they thought Heidi was a bitch.
Really?
Basically. Oh, totally, yeah.
Weird. Heidi was a bitch. That's like the worst. That's the worst name for a bitch, too. I mean, so it's such a pleasant name.
Yeah.
I've never met a bitch named Heidi.
It's just showing you that it's really hard for successful women to be both likable and
interesting,
powerful. They kind of inverse for a woman, it's like inverse, but for a man, it's you don't have to be likable, I guess.
I blame patriarchy.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
So this is a great list. Both of these lists are great. We should take it to Earth to Damn White Guys and see what Twitter has to say.
Earth to Damn White Guys. Earth to Damn White Guys.
I tweeted out, if you could add any one attribute to the list of seven deadly sins, what would it be? And responses so far, deliberate ignorance. That's pretty good. Actually,
that's
I think ignorance is a
one.
Great one. Pride. So what was the
deliberate
list?
Deliberate ignorance.
Pride, envy, gluttony, lust, anger, greed, sloth. Ignorance.
Ignorance.
Would be an eighth to add.
Yeah.
So I think we're allowed to add two because now we have Neptune and Uranus. This is based on the number of bodies in the sky.
Oh,
right? So now
okay.
that there's two more planets, we can add a half one for Pluto maybe.
I would say ignorance would be sloth. I think you could lump it into sloth.
Yeah, I suppose. A little, yeah.
It's kind of like lazy.
Yeah.
It's because why do people want to remain ignorant?
Yeah.
They just want to not think maybe?
Yeah.
Or?
Passive aggressiveness. That's another response.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's like communicating indirectly, I guess.
Mm. Yeah, lack of communication. So what would that be? Shut off? Like how would you say that? Yeah, you have to use one word, remember.
That's right. Is. Yeah. Well, or you could say ignorance would be philosophy without knowledge or something.
Well, it has to be one word.
Well, not if it's on seven social sins.
That's true. I think that's the other thing. I prefer the seven deadly sins because it's...
Simpler.
Simpler, right?
Yeah.
But that makes it more open to interpretation, so something for everyone. Racism. That's a pretty good one.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Yeah.
We should definitely add this
I mean, I think you might be able to generalize it to, like, tribalism or something like that
mm-hmm.
because it applies to races, cultures, languages, blah, blah, blah. You name it, hipsters. You name it.
So yeah.
That's a probably a good one.
Except for Nordicism. Nordicism is probably the best kind of racism because it says the Nordics are the best.
Oh, yeah.
And they probably are.
So here's the thing. Have you ever watched The Swedish Chef on The Muppets?
Uh-uh.
Muppets is a good show, right? And
yeah.
Swedish Chef is hilarious.
Oh, wait. The guy with the big hat.
Borgi, Borgi, Borgi.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love that guy.
Wouldn't that thing replace him with like an African?
Why would they replace him with an African?
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you imagine the Swedish Chef and put, like, a Jamaican or, uh-huh. I don't know, like, someone from Africa or something
you're saying
instead,
it would be offensive?
It's super racist.
Yeah.
The Swedish Chef is, like, super, super racist, and the only reason why we tolerate it is because Swedes are awesome.
Yeah.
Basically, right? Like,
yeah.
So, but it's kind of, like, interesting. I think in 20 years we're going to look back on the Swedish Chef and say, oh, my God, I can't believe we did that.
I'm probably the only American Nordicist on planet Earth.
No. I read a book recently called The Nearly Perfect People about sweet Scandinavia.
Really?
And why Scandinavia is so awesome. Talks about some of the myths about it, too. It's a really good book. I highly recommend it. But talked about, like, basically how Scandinavia is socialist paradise. But
yeah.
It does have some problems, and they have some, you know, the same challenges with immigration and stuff like that. So
yeah, I think the climate there creates really unique people because people there are just like, you know, it's always cold. The sun isn't always ever up a lot. And, you know, sometimes it's down for like months on end. And it's just like.
I think that's kind of like, that's what people used to think about why countries around the equator were poorer and stuff because people were lazy because it was hot. I don't know. I think
that was disproven.
Well, actually, I'm not sure it's entirely disproven.
Well, it's
but
not,
I think
it's not crazy.
It's not substantiated.
It's not crazy because seasonal depression is a real thing. And if you are constantly in seasonal depression, then the only option is to really have a really robust emotional framework or, you know, something like that.
It seems like a stretch to me. And that would imply, like, if you're depressed and you're suffering from seasonal depression, you'd be less likely to do industrious things.
Well, that's
you?
What I'm saying is, like,
so that's the opposite.
In the Nordic region, it's always so cold and there's never
But they're
any
the most
light.
Industrious people.
But that's what I'm saying is that it's like... because you know, evolution is adaptation to struggle, their struggle is it's always cold and dark, and so they've just become a really robust people.
But they have no difference, discernible difference at the genetic level. So
is this offensive, what we're saying?
Yeah, mildly.
Is it?
No, it's not really.
I mean, it's a compliment, kind of, right?
Yeah, but I just don't think it's true. It's not anything genetic. It's purely social because it wasn't, Scandinavia wasn't like that 100 years ago.
Is that true?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely not genetic. Yeah.
Huh.
Plus, there's no substantial differences genetically. But it could be like a still social thing. Like when it's hot out, you don't necessarily want to work a lot. So I don't know if there's like maybe some basis in that. But I think it's definitely unproven.
And so you think it's just their society? And
probably
socialism has a lot to do with it.
Well, no, of course. But where does that come from? So some different ideas are that it comes from like the Viking heritage, because the Vikings were like pretty free people who had a big middle class, and they were really progressive. Like women could own property and, start their own businesses and things like that. They only had three social classes, and the slavery was very mild. Like people could be freed and usually were. And so, for like 1,300 years ago, the Vikings were super progressive, right? And so it's kind of this free heritage, this entrepreneurial heritage was like, is one of the possibilities. It's unclear if that's true or not.
Yeah.
But I mean, part of it is that they're just relatively small countries, so they have just a lot of social cohesion.
Huh.
They've survived catastrophic events like wars, but they sat on the sidelines to some extent. I mean, not Denmark and Norway, but their economies kind of boomed as a result too, by not getting destroyed like a lot of parts of Europe. Mm. So, yeah, it's kind of unclear. But I mean, it's a very interesting question, and there's a whole book about it which you can read. So,
yeah, well, racism should definitely be on the list. So,
Or tribalism. I mean, something that is at least a proxy for racism that possibly is wider.
Yeah,
wider spread. Making context-free lists of sins.
Somebody said that on Twitter.
Yeah. Indiscriminate use of caps lock.
So what we're doing right here.
Ignorance. Yeah, pretty much what we're doing.
Yeah.
Despair kills more people than gluttony or sloth. Cognitive dissonance. Not separating recyclables.
Yeah, these are good ones. These are good ones.
So now the movie Seven, you seen that movie?
Yes, I was going to talk about this.
So how would he kill the person who was guilty of ignorance? How can you die from ignorance?
He would make them drink poison on accident.
Because they didn't know that
yeah.
it was poison?
Yeah.
I guess they couldn't read, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah,
I
don't
know. It doesn't seem as entertaining.
Yeah. That movie's really dark.
Yeah.
Really dark. All right, guys. Well, thanks so much for listening. This has been Two Damn White Guys on Seven Social Sins or Seven Deadly Sins, whichever one you prefer. And if you want to help us out, you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. You can also follow us on Twitter. I'm at Julian Was Here. Andrew's at Mars Raider. And we do these episodes every Monday. And we look forward to having you back.
Have a good one.
Thanks for listening.